Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. The leadership of the Juneau School District will undergo a major change over the summer. In addition to a new superintendent, more than half of the superintendent's six-member cabinet is turning over, and the school board unanimously approved creating an assistant superintendent position last week. This newly approved position would replace the district's chief of staff. Kristen Bartlett is the current chief of staff and will retire at the end of June. The district last had an assistant superintendent about 14 years ago. Board member Steve Whitney says he supports bringing it back.
Our administrative staff does have a tremendous workload, and we've got far more turnover than I would like with superintendents as well as cabinet members. I think this is probably justified. I'm going to support it.
The position is expected to include some responsibilities of the current chief of staff, like overseeing board policy updates. They will also oversee assets, professional development, and middle and high school activities. According to a draft organizational chart, an incoming assistant superintendent would supervise principals across the district. Superintendent Frank Hauser says depending on the experience of a new hire, the position could cost the district up to $20,000 more to cover a higher salary. Other departures from the superintendent's cabinet are Director of Teaching and Learning Kristen Garrott, who's retiring at the end of June, Director of Student Services Jason DeCamillis, who submitted his resignation in March, and Director of Human Services Lyle Melkerson. The Director of Student Services position is currently posted on the district's hiring website. The district plans to post the other open positions this week. Outside the cabinet, principal positions at Sit-Iti Chinook Glacier Valley Elementary School, Thunder Mountain Middle School, Montessori Borealis, and Yakuski Dakahiti High School are also opening up. Grant funding for the principal at the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program is slated to end this year. The district is not funding that position for the upcoming school year. Juneau's cold weather warming shelter was supposed to close for the season last week, but instead the shelter will now be open year-round, thanks to a decision by the Juneau Assembly earlier this month. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, some shelter patrons say the extension is a lifeline.
Juno Didrikson sips a late-night cup of coffee as a movie plays quietly on a projector at the city's cold weather emergency shelter. Didrikson never thought he'd be here, sleeping on a small mattress on the floor of a warehouse, surrounded by strangers. But then life happened.
I'm an artist, and my economy just kind of fell right off the map. So that's why I'm here.
Didrikson says he's headed back to school this summer to get his bachelor's at the University of Alaska Southeast Juneau campus. But it's mid-April, and he hasn't been able to find a place to stay while waiting to get into student housing later this summer. Earlier this month, the Juneau Assembly unanimously approved an ordinance to make the shelter in Thane a year-round operation. Before, it was only open mid-October through mid-April. The decision means people like Didrikson without stable housing now have a place to sleep every night of the year, no matter the circumstances.
There are people who are just one medical bill or one accident away from landing here. There's been a lot of people that I've seen in the last couple of years that are just, they're holding down two or three jobs, but they still can't afford rent.
City officials say that opening the shelter year-round would help address Juneau's current lack of shelter space and housing units, and would reduce the number of unhoused people camping in the summer. The Glory Hall shelter in the Mendenhall Valley is also open year-round, but limited space means it's constantly full. The city shelter is considered Juneau's lowest barrier option for people without housing. It's open from 9 p.m. to 6:45 a.m. daily, and it accepts anyone as long as they aren't disruptive to other patrons. In prior years, the shelter typically closed on April 15th, but that left many people who use it with few options for where to sleep during the summer months. Here's Molly Carr, the deputy director of St. Vincent de Paul in Juneau. The nonprofit is contracted to operate the shelter.
When you see the encampments that were happening on Teal Street and Brotherhood Bridge, you know, the sanitation and the things that are just really completely unhealthy and unsafe for individuals, for community members.
Now, the city plans to do stricter enforcement to theoretically reduce the number of encampments around town. Carr says she supports increased enforcement and wants to make the shelter a place where people want to go instead. She says now that the shelter is open year-round, shelter staff are working to find ways for it to go beyond just being a place for people to sleep, like hosting game nights, arts and craft, and a drum circle.
We're trying to create, you know, more of a community for them to have an understanding, like, this is going to be your space. This is going to be your safe space.
Jolene Lipinski, a staff member at the shelter, ladles a steaming bowl of spicy soup to a patron. She benefited from Juneau services when she moved to town after being unhoused in Ketchikan.
I'm in recovery, so I wanted to give back in some sort of way. So I thought by doing this would be a good community service.
She says she's glad that unhoused people in Juneau have a place to sleep year-round and get basic necessities to navigate their day-to-day lives.
So they're not sleeping outside. You know, it's somewhere to be, get a hot meal, get some good rest, and then try to go about their day the next day.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and AWARE is planning a fashion show to celebrate the survivors of sexual assaults. The event is happening on what's known as Denim Day, which falls on April 29th this year. KTOO's Mike Lean recently sat down with AWARE's Director of Outreach and Engagement, Christina Michelle, to learn more.
There is an event coming up that I know very, very little about, and I'd like for you to explain it to me. Denim Day, what is it?
Denim Day is the last Wednesday of every April where we celebrate the survivors of sexual assault. So AWARE is organizing a Denim Day fashion show. And what that looks like is volunteers sign up to be models and they wear denim jeans and then they wear really cool statement t-shirts that we're providing that say slogans around advocacy for sexual assault.
How did this get started, Denim Day?
So, good question. Denim Day started in Italy in the 90s after a young woman was raped by her driving instructor. And he was sentenced to prison, but then he appealed saying that her jeans were so tight that he couldn't have removed them on his own, and therefore she must have helped, and that it wasn't assault. Surprisingly, his conviction was overturned. He was released from prison. And when her community heard about it, there was a public uproar, outrage, outcry, all the things. And they protested in denim, and this got picked up internationally, and people started protesting all over.
So that's where it came from, and it's coming up April 29th in Juneau. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be held at the Crystal Saloon.
And what time?
It starts at 6 o'clock, and we estimated that it might go till about 7:30. Not the entire fashion show, but the whole event.
Okay. And so you have people who have signed up to be models for this.
Yes, absolutely.
And the models are going to don their denim.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
And how many models have you got signed up? Do you need more?
We have 30 models signed up. We would love to have more. We have maybe half and half, you know, for men and women.
Really?
Yes. And we really did a big push asking men to participate in this cause. And the men have been supportive and kind of tentative at the same time. They're like, okay, I'm a little shy. I don't really know what to do, but I want to help. I want to be there. And so, yeah, we've got about 15 men and 15 women. And, you know, but we could go up to 40 models.
Who can attend? Just anybody?
Anybody can attend. So I want to say, I know that the Crystal Saloon is an unexpected venue for an event like this, but we chose it on purpose because so many sexual assaults begin when people are like out, where they're out partying, they're out in bars. We get so many people asking us to talk more about how women can stay safe from being victims of like date rape drugs and things like that, that are slipped into drinks at the bars. And so we really thought it would be a cool way to say, we're kind of like, we're taking back a space where harm may start and we're reclaiming it. And we're like, no, like this is also a place of healing. This is a place where people can be educated. And also the Crystal Saloon is just a cool venue. So
yeah, it is.
Even though it is at the Crystal Saloon, we've got permission for families to attend. So if
Excellent.
You want to bring like your high school kids, everyone is very welcome. As long as they're with a parent, then minors can attend.
And what should we expect at this fashion show?
We're going to start off with just a brief explanation of what Denim Day is about and why we're celebrating it. And of course, a land acknowledgement. We're hoping to have maybe Alaska Native group dance and just open us up and help us just make the space feel sacred for the event. And then we'll get into the fashion show. And we've got DJ Al Boogie is going to be DJing. And we've got like a really fire playlist. And then we have these awesome volunteer models of all shapes, sizes, abilities, heights, like attitudes. they're a really cool group, and they're going to be taking that stage and showing off these really awesome T-shirts.
That was Mike Lane talking with AWARE's Director of Outreach and Engagement, Christina Michelle, about the Denim Day fashion show coming up on April 29th. And the U.S. Coast Guard announced Thursday that the first of its two new medium-weight icebreakers will be homeported in Alaska. A Finnish firm is under contract to build up to four of the ships, called Ice Security Cutters, and the first is projected to arrive in 2028. The Coast Guard hasn't yet decided where in Alaska the two icebreakers will be assigned or if they will be kept at the same home port. Last year, the Coast Guard christened the Storis, an icebreaker that was converted from an oil field services ship. The Coast Guard announced its home port will be Juneau once facilities for it are completed. That's projected to be in 2029. Congress has also appropriated billions of dollars to build a fleet of heavy icebreakers called Polar Security Cutters. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 42 degrees and cloudy. It looks like we have a 20% chance of rain this afternoon and tonight. Tomorrow looks like it'll be dry with a high of 45 degrees. That looks true for Thursday as well, and this weekend looks like it could be sunny. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in today.